slum, Trimbit. Don't just stand there with your mouth hanging open. Tell us about this woman, Dorothy, is it?
Yes, sir. I believe I have found a chink in her armor, though it's only an unobtrusive little vice, which I found she shares with nearly all women who have grown up in an intelligent circle united by a clearly defined belief.
Out with it.
She seems to have a rather untroubled assumption that outsiders who do not share her and her family's belief are really simple-minded and ridiculous. It is a sort of confidence which she supposes to be due to faith, but is in reality largely due to the mere colour she has taken from her surroundings.
Yes, yes, I know the type. It's not very different from the conviction she would have felt at, say, the age of 10, that the kind of butter knives used in her father's house were the proper or normal or real kind, while those of the neighbouring families were not real butter knives at all. Now, the element of ignorance and naivete in all of this is so large, and the element of spiritual pride so small that it gives us little hope of the girl herself.
I didn't say it was much.
Not for your girl, but it may show promise for Wormwood's patient.
What? Sorry, mine?
Oh, do pay attention, Wormwood. This exercise is for you, you should recall.
Yes, I know, but I'm sorry, I don't see the connection between her butter knives and bringing down my patient.
In this new circle of friends, your patient is a novice.
Right.
Every day he is encountering a quality of Christian life he never before imagined and seeing it all through an enchanted glass because he is in love. He is anxious. Indeed, the enemy commands him to imitate this quality.
Yes?
The girl has a strong influence on him.
Right.
Can you get him to imitate this defect in her and to exaggerate it until what was venial in her becomes in him the strongest and most beautiful of all the vices? Spiritual pride.
Oh, I see now, right.
Are you finished with me, sir?
You may go, Slum Trimbit. This has not helped you, but I'll put in a good word with your supervisor for your cooperation.
Much obliged, sir.
Yes, Wormwood, this is a promising approach. Conditions seem ideally favorable. The new circle in which he finds himself is one of which he is tempted to be proud for many reasons other than its Christianity. It is a better educated, more intelligent, more agreeable society than any he has yet encountered.
Yes.
He is also under some degree of illusion as to his own place in it. Under the influence of love, he may still think himself unworthy of the girl, but he is rapidly ceasing to think of himself unworthy of the others. He does not dream how much of his conversation, how many of his opinions are recognized by them all as mere echoes of their own. Still less does he suspect how much of the delight he takes in these people is due to the erotic enchantment which the girl, for him, spreads all over her surroundings. He thinks that he likes their talk and way of life because of some congruity between their spiritual state and his, where, in fact, they are so far beyond him that if he were not in love, he would be merely puzzled and repelled by much which he now accepts.
Yes, yes, perfect.
Here is your chance. While the enemy, by means of sexual love and of some very agreeable people far advanced in his service, is drawing the young barbarian up to levels he could never otherwise have reached, you must make him feel that he is finding his own level, that these people are his sort, and that coming among them, he has come home. When he turns from them to other society, he will find it dull, partly because almost any society within his reach is, in fact, much less entertaining, but still more because he will miss the enchantment of the young woman. You must teach him to mistake this contrast between the circle that delights and the circle that bores him for the contrast between Christians and unbelievers. He must be made to feel, though without ever putting it into words, how different we Christians are. And by we Christians, he must really, but unknowingly mean my set. And by my set, he must mean not the people who, in their charity and humility, have accepted me, but the people with whom I associate by right.
So I should guide him to be proud of being a Christian?
No!
No?
Success here depends on confusing him. If you try to make him explicitly and professedly proud of being a Christian, you will probably fail. The enemy's warnings are too well known. If, on the other hand, you let the idea of we Christians drop out altogether and merely make him complacent about his set, you will produce not true spiritual pride, but mere social vanity, which, by comparison, is a puny little sin. What you want is to keep a sly self-congratulation mixing with all his thoughts and never allow him to raise the question, what precisely am I congratulating myself about? The idea of belonging to an inner ring, of being in a secret, is very sweet to him. Play on that nerve. Teach him, using the influence of this girl when she is silliest, to adopt an air of amusement when he is around unbelievers. The great thing is to make Christianity a mystery religion in which he feels himself one of the special and exclusive initiates. You are dismissed.
Dismissed, Uncle?
Well, you know what you must do. Now go and do it.